Thanks for downloading this podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy wherever they get their podcasts.
Delivering all the news, the informed views, and just telling great motorsport stories since 2003. Powered by theracetalk.com. This is On The Grid.
G'day everyone and welcome to On The Grid here on mypodcasthouse.com or on the Radio Show Limited's RS1. Thank you so much for joining us. Another big show coming your way. We're talking Speedway today and the owner of Hodges Motorsports Speedway car, Tim Hodges, to join us to talk about his first season as an owner in Speedway and what it was like and all the pluses and maybe even a couple of the negatives as well. We'll catch up with Hodgie and find out more about that shortly. We're also going to get Mark Walker and Richard Crowell to wrap up what has been an interesting summer of Speedway. We'll get their thoughts on that. We're also going to have a look at a lot of the liveries and a lot of the testing that's been happening in supercars. And Mark Walker will give us his preview of the big one in NASCAR, the Daytona 500 on this weekend. All that to come right here on The Grid.
You're listening to the latest from around the motorsport world. On The Grid.
All right, joining me as he always does off the top of the program, Richard Crowell. Hello, Crowsey.
Hello, Tony Shebeki. How are you?
Mate, I'm fantastic. Thank you. How's your week been?
Yeah, good. Exciting times, isn't it? Watching this Gen 3 roll out. We get a new livery every 3 minutes, which is exciting. Always like to see what the race teams are coming up with and all building up towards next week's big all-in test day, which will be the first real time we get to see all these cars rolling out. But it's been an interesting process, last minute certainly, but everyone, these professional race teams that we're so fortunate to have in this country, doing a really good job. So yeah, looking forward to that. And the countdown to Race Tasmania on as well, which is cool, with all the Speed Series categories heading down to Simmons Plains Raceway. So plenty going on, but we're still getting over what was an epic summer of Speedway, aren't we?
Yeah, we certainly are. And a man that we have wanted to speak to for a little while because he started his own team this year and it was fantastic to see all that go with, I suppose, the one dream, and that was of winning the Classic at Warrnambool. Didn't come to fruition, but will they have another crack? I don't know. We'll find out as we speak to the owner of Hodges Motorsport, or one of the owners anyway. Tim Hodges joins us. Hello, Tim.
G'day, Tone. G'day, Richard. Nice to be with you both. And yeah, normally about 5 minutes in, we're due for another livery or some sort of breaking exclusive news. So feel free to bump me any stage you need to.
No, yeah, we'll miss it, mate. That's our thing on this show, that we go to air and all of the news breaks the moment the we after. Push go live. Yeah, correct.
Richard, I'm a long-time fan of the show. I'm formerly a producer of the show, Shebex, but it is I do listen in every week, and then I sort of facepalm emoji the next moment when something enormous breaks, which must drive you guys insane. But no, lovely to be with you.
Lovely to have you on board too, mate. Dreams do come true, eh?
Oh, we had a crack. So it was probably the silliest thing we've ever tried to do, Tone. You know, my passion for motorsport and my passion for Speedway and sprint car racing and Premier Speedway and the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic. And myself and a couple of mates from home, Ryan O'Keefe and Dylan Wilshire, who we normally sit on the hill and have a few beers and watch the classic and talk big tales of launching our own race team. And finally, we had a crack at doing it. And we had some great success. 9 starts, 3 wins, 6 podiums. And unfortunately, our worst finishing position was the Grand Annual Sprint Car Classic, the thing we wanted most. It was 5th, but we had a serious crack and we were leading it for a bunch of laps and looking. There was a moment where I thought, God, imagine if this all falls into place and we do win it. But from that moment on, I think that's when James McFadden, our superstar driver, slapped the wall trying to pass a lapped car. And the dream faded pretty quick from then on.
Hodgie, just talk us through what it was like being there. Massive crowd. It was sold out across the weekend. One of the biggest classics there's been. But just from a personal point of view, what was the feeling? What was the emotion like for you actually being part of one of the great motorsport events in this country?
Yeah, well, I mean, I grew up loving it. And it's like James, our driver, who grew up sitting on the hill. I mean, I grew up loving motorsport and loving sprint car racing. And he grew up thinking, all I want to do is race these cars and try and win the Classic. And he did that a couple of times. And we went bloody close to winning it for him for a third time. And it would have been the biggest one of all, the 50th Classic. But yeah, it was... I'm not an emotional person, Rich, but it was pretty emotional. Like to be out there and to have a bunch of mates who made the effort to get there, which was really cool. And then to win our first heat race, which was, which was a bucket list sort of thing to do. God, this is sort of great. And then to win the Saturday night feature, and unfortunately the weather in Warrnambool is always an issue, but it was an issue on the Saturday night, which was washed out. So we had to go back early on Sunday afternoon, and that's when we won our heat race. And then we won the Saturday night feature, which was about 6 o'clock Sunday evening. And I had to go and stand behind the tractor shed for a while and just compose myself. It was it was a cool moment. Yeah, you know, my sporting career, Tony, you know me well enough that my sporting career was rubbish. That's why I got into sports media, to write about it and talk about it, and then to actually be a part of it, like that was, and to do well, and it was bloody thrilling, guys. And it's an addictive thing, motorsport. You know, like we've all been in it and we love it, but to actually have a team, you know, have a dog in the fight was awesome. So yeah, and then it all came down to the Classic final, and we started on the second row of the grid. And, you know, James is such a wheel man, and he was leading within two laps, and he was setting the tone and the pace for the race. And it was all looking so promising, but with that many cars on such a short track, lap traffic was always going to be a serious issue. And unfortunately that was our undoing. So once he slapped the wall, knocked the ladder out of the rear suspension, I mean, any other driver probably would have just pulled in. But he was ragging the thing, trying to get us a result, knowing how much it meant to us. So yeah, to still finish fifth was, great in a field of 120 cars, and still decent, still bloody decent. So yeah, I know a lot of people were bummed for us, but we still lived the dream for the weekend, that's for sure.
Hodgie, the three of us were involved with our good mate Crusher's entry into IndyCar a few years ago, and we saw his dream come true over there and having an IndyCar team and getting a car to start the Indy 500, the 100th running of the Indy 500 nonetheless. Was the idea of you owning a sprint car team something that started to really mull in your head from that point on, seeing how he did what he did and where they got to? Was that something you thought, geez, I wouldn't mind really getting into this? Was it that far back, or was it something that was just really happened in the last 12 months?
No, I won't. I won't lie, Tone, it was definitely stolen from Crusher, but it's something that we've been talking about since probably then.
Yeah.
That, and certainly speedway and sprint car racing is much more attainable financially than an Indianapolis 500 entry. But yeah, there's so much of it that what we all saw together at Indy back in 2016, you used a lot of that in this venture. So it was something that it's been sort of 13 months in the making, and so many times it almost fell over. And, there were enough bits that fell into place that, like, Napa Auto Parts sort of liked what we were doing and came on board. And, like you guys, it's hard with the money we make in the media to justify spending this much money on motorsport. But I was able to get a couple of close allies in Jared Waitley and Scott McLaughlin and Jack Riewoldt. How's that for a couple of name drops for you? But once they believed in it, you know, they committed a bit of cash. And then all of a sudden I was like, well, hell, this can happen, to the point where you go and pitch to James McFadden, who is, we've been friends for a while. And it was back at the Indy 500 last year where we went over to watch Scott, and I took Ryan and Dylan, a couple of the guys who are involved in the car, and we bummed around with James and his wife Zoe and their young fella Mav for a couple of days, and we sort of hung out enough that we got a bit of courage to ask him whether he'd be interested, and he was absolutely all in. So yeah, it was one thing led to another, which led to another, and it was happening. So yeah, it was a cool thing to try and do. And I'm really glad for everyone involved that we had a little bit of success as well.
I'm interested, Hodgie, in what Jared's take of the whole thing was, because, I mean, as we talked yesterday, he called the Super Bowl. So from Australian sports broadcasting point of view, it doesn't get much bigger. What was his take on Speedway and the show and everything around what goes into the Classic?
You know what, Richard? The good thing was he walked away and he loved it.
Great.
And that's about as good as we could have hoped. And the fact that his wife, Claire, who is the petrol head in the family, she was there Saturday night and she loved it and she got the full experience. And I really appreciate the guys at Premier, and especially Chook in the, he'll be listening, in the push truck, who gave them all a couple of great experiences. And he made sure he pushed off James while they were in the truck with him. So that was really cool for them. But Jared had the great experience that, you know, he stood in the infield for the Classic Final, and he just is a sports fan like all of us. And I'd sort of sold it to him pretty hard that this is sheep stations, and there's no better thing than any sport anywhere in the world when it's sheep stations up for grabs. And that's what the Classic is. It's one of the few motorsport events, I reckon, guys, where you'd rather crash to try and win it rather than finish second. And that's probably up there with the Indy 500 and the Daytona 500 this week. So that's the appeal and the lure and the magic of the Classic for me. And I love the fact that he came in and I won't lie, I was a bit apologetic of what he's going to cop and you know, how many people would bombard him and talk footy with him and stuff, but he took it in his stride and he had a ball. So, and he was there. I mean, the schedule was so long on Sunday night, it dragged out forever, but he was there till stumps. He was there till the end. We packed the car away. We pulled the Esky out and had a few beers, and he stood around and had beers with us. He stood with the fans and had photos taken. Like he loved it. So that's really cool. And then, you know, I did laugh that yesterday, you're right, Richard, that he was at the Super Bowl and his first cross into the breakfast show, they talked to him about the Sydney test and Premier Speedway and then being in Phoenix, Arizona. Like it was almost part of the conversation, which I love that where Speedway has come over this experience, that we wanted to bring more exposure to the sport. And I think we've managed to do that. It was sort of everywhere for a while there, which was kind of cool. I know it ticked a few people off in the sport that one car got so much coverage, but I kind of loved it. We threw everything at trying to make it a huge success. And I think we sort of achieved a lot of that.
Well, on that, Hodgie, some big picture stuff, and your point about you guys raising the bar is accurate, because you did that from a team point of view, and no Speedway team has got that level of coverage for years and years and years and years. And then over in the West, our colleague Dean Neal's been doing great things with Speedway over there, and TV on the Seven Network, which is amazing for sprint car racing, and trying to raise the bar and lift it up and give the sport its big bash moment. And we saw sold out crowds at Premier. There were 10,000 at the Australian sprint car title on Saturday night. Like there was one NBL game, I think, that got a bigger attendance in Australian sport last weekend than Speedway. So what does the sport need to do, and how does it, and we could talk about this for hours, I know, how does it move forward? How does it capture some of this momentum, some of this attendance, some of this interest, and build itself into something bigger than what it is? Because it should dominate the summer of sport for what it is, because it draws the people. There is genuine interest there. So where does it go to that next level? How do we step it up?
I don't know, Richard, and it's hard because sometimes the people, and I don't want to speak out of school, but sometimes the people inside the sport are some of the ones who aren't actually helping the sport, which you come across that you think, man, if could you please make this a bit easier for us right now? So we had plenty of those moments, but just Speedway, it's riding an absolute high at the moment, guys, like even just Classic Week. So Wednesday night at Avalon Raceway, they've never had more people there. And so it was a sellout crowd. They sold every food and drink in the joint. So it was enormous, the President's Cup. Then Thursday night was the biggest crowd in Borderline Raceway history for the King's Challenge. And James completely dominated that night. So, you know, what a thrill that was to win a big time event like the King's Challenge was awesome. And it was awesome to see the joint bursting. So it would have been 10,000 people. So 20,000 people across Wednesday and Thursday night. And yes, they got lucky with Australia Day landing where it was. And then the three nights of the Classic would have been 12,000 to 15,000 people there on each of the nights. And Friday night's crowd was like a Sunday night crowd. And then the Saturday and Sunday were sold out. So there would have been the best part of, I don't know, 30 to 35,000 people probably there across the three nights at Premier Speedway in Warrnambool. So what's that? It's over 50, 55,000 people at the Speedway for a week was awesome. And then, yeah, you're right with what Perth are doing. And I commend Dean. Like, he's working his backside off and, you know, he's putting in a lot of his own money to make sure the presentation and the telecast is as good as it possibly can be. So credit to him. He gets it. I love that the Motorplex gets it, and everything they tried to do is to sell a sport to the widest possible crowd and audience they can. But yeah, I know the Clay Per View is a bugbear of yours, Richard. And, you know, like, I paid for it on Saturday night. It was over $40. Like, that's really hard for Speedway fans, especially like Classic Week. You know, they're dishing out $30 Wednesday night, $30 Thursday night, $30 Friday night, $30 Saturday night. And I think it was bumped up to about $40 on the Sunday night. So that's a lot of money to be paying just to sitting at home watching. So, yeah, it is a frustration that the sport has. I think the biggest issue sprint car racing has is the fact that the World Series has been dormant for 3 years now. So a couple of years with COVID, and then I don't know why it didn't return this year. And then for COVID still to get blamed, I sort of think is a bit lazy. So yeah, I think they need World Series back, which was the traveling circus when they get a bunch of contracted drivers and travel the country and you get the best of the best for everyone to see. And they normally, you know, perform to sellout shows right across, and they run for, you know, minimum 10,000 to the winner every one of their nights. So I would love, firstly, for that to come back, or a big national series. And then you always know that Classic Week is going to be enormous. You know, the Aussie title, which is in Warrnambool the week after the Classic next week, next year. So that's going to be some sort of festival of sprint car racing for 2 weeks. And you know, the big show in Toowoomba they had the week before the Classic was massive and paid big bucks. And then Sydney's going to have a big 2 weeks as well next year as well. So yeah, it's, I think it's going in a great direction. I don't want to be negative about it. So yeah, I hope we've been able to help and spread a bit more exposure, hopefully bring a few more eyeballs to the sport, and you know, help the brand of James McFadden. Like, he's a guy who, talking about Jared, Richard, like, he Jared was blown away with how good James McFadden was with, you know, media, with sponsors, with the fans. Like, the fact that he stood around, like, he was flat as a tack, and he, you know, it was an unfortunate mistake that he made in the Classic Final. And he was bummed like anything, but he stuck around and he had a beer with us and he signed autographs for, you know, the best part of an hour and a half after that event. So, like, he's awesome for the sport. The sport is lucky to have James McFadden with what he's doing across in America, the only full-time Aussie on the World of Outlaws tour. And, yeah, we're really bloody lucky that he said yes to driving for us, because he's an absolute weapon.
Yeah. Hodgie, is it a one-off, or is it something you'll look at doing again next year?
Sorry, I probably waffled a bit there.
No, not at all.
I don't know, Tone. We were always, you know, targeting the 50th Classic. That's the one we sort of thought a few years ago would be the best one to have a crack at. So, yeah, I'm wary of not wanting to chase it every single year in case we don't go particularly well, or we don't get any closer, or we go even worse. So, but, you know, James loved the experience. You know, normally he comes home, guys, and races 30 or 40 times, but that just got too much for him after running the best part of 90 shows in America. So, you know, he wanted to come home and run a handful of events to make sure he was on the pace for a crack at the Classic. And we were offering a chance to come home and run a handful of events and have a real serious crack at the Classic. So that's why he was so interested in this campaign. So it probably depends on how he goes over in the States this year, whether he commits, but he loved everything about it. So, you know, I hope if we did do it, he'd be, you know, we'd obviously want him to be the driver. Otherwise we wouldn't bother, because, you know, we know with him, we've got the best guy out there.
Tim, as an overnight, what was the biggest surprise out of the whole experience?
Probably just a leap of faith every time you push the car off, which you don't realize, like, for us sitting on the media side of the fence, And, you know, back in the day when you went to the Classic and all you wanted was a bit of carnage and you loved it. And then you thought, oh, some poor bugger's got to pay for that. And that was going to be me if it was car five that went over. So, yeah, the trepidation, the anxiety probably was at an all-time high, Tone. And it's an expensive caper, like you guys know and all your listeners would know that motorsport is expensive. There were moments where you felt a bit like, remember the Married with Children, Al Bundy in that opening scene where he's just handing out money to everyone, including the dog. Like I did feel like that at times, Tone, that, yeah, I have to pay plenty of people and to keep everyone happy and moving along. But the fact that we didn't lose money in the end was awesome. We didn't have to tap into our crash budget, which was even more awesome. So, yeah, I think it was, I still think it was a great success to win. You know, to win on Classic Weekend with the Night 2 title, to win the Thursday Night Kings Challenge, to win on the December 30, the Speed Week round at Avalon Raceway was, you know, we had some great success, some great times. James was always big on when you win, you have, you don't call it beer, winning beers, you have winner's piss. So we had a few beers, which was great, and we loved it. If that's it, then what a ride we had. But if we go again, that'd be also bloody awesome.
Fantastic, mate. Of course, one of our co-hosts on the program also, Mark Walker, who you know well, has just joined us for the end of this. He's jumped in and he's wearing a very special shirt there as well. I'm sure you can see it.
Oh, look at that. Hodges Motorsport, number five.
You could go and buy that J-Mac merch, but who wants it, really? I mean, you want the stuff that the people want.
Hey, Mark, you know I'm a big fan of you. You've never looked better, I'll be honest with you. Can I just say, and I feel like a total wanker, that there was merchandise with my name on the chest, but we made a bunch of gear, or James got the gear made from Casey Kane, who his old boss over in America, who runs a merchandise company, and they made all the Napa Car 5 gear. And he bought all his American gear out. And like, he's an enormously popular driver. And it all went. And obviously, I don't think there's been a team that's had more publicity leading into a summer of sprint car racing. So it was gone by Jan 2. And we sort of thought, God, what are we going to do here for Classic Week when all of our merch is just about gone? And we made a bunch of the Hodges Motorsport. There were 7 T-shirts and 7 hoodies we got made just so the crew looked a bit different. And he was like, can I rip that off and make that? And I said, yeah, go for it. But I wasn't anticipating sort of 300 T-shirts and hoodies walking around Melbourne, walking around Warrnambool in Monaghan's Pharmacy. I walked in to get some toothpaste one day and I was like, oh, God, someone's wearing my T-shirt. It's like, what sort of a wanker am I? So,
that's great.
I appreciate everyone putting their hand in their pocket to buy a Hodges Motorsport gear. But especially you, Mark, you look awesome. And the gear looks awesome too, doesn't it? It looks fantastic. But it's probably a bit off-putting. That certainly wasn't why I got into doing this. But And then I got photos of mates who are in Port Fairy. And you know, what the hell is going on? Why are these people wearing T-shirts with your name on it? Like, oh God, this is getting too big on us.
Mega, that's great, mate. Well done.
Good on you, mate. We really appreciate you coming on and having a chat to us about the experience. We're really proud of what you've achieved over the last 3 months. We all know you really well, mate, and to see one of our friends do well and give it an actual crack is something that we're all pretty proud of. So well done, buddy, and good luck through the footy season, mate. It starts to get busy in the next week or two.
Yeah, it's, you know, when Daytona 500 comes around and then the first round of the V8s, that footy's not far away. So, yeah, it's starting to gear up. But, look, make a pact, boys, if and especially you, Crail, if we're running Car 5 next year, you all have to be at Premier Speedway, please, Australia Day weekend.
No, I promise you, we'll be there. Locked in. Done.
Very good.
Get on you, Tim. Thanks for your time. I'd appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks. Good to talk, guys.
Tim Hodges joining us here on The Grid.
There's more great motorsport stories coming next on The Grid.
All right, part two of the program. Mark Walker joins us for proper now, I suppose. Hello, Mark.
Hello, Tony. Hello, Richard.
Hello.
Yeah, it was good to see you. I definitely did make the trek out to Avalon Raceway to see the number 5 Napa Auto Parts sprint car in action there on President's Cup night. And, heck of a show.
Yeah. It's topped a little bit of a bad rap, hasn't it, Speedway, in the last week or so?
Well, yeah, there's an unfortunate incident at one goat track in the middle of nowhere. But look, it's I've had a bit of a bee in my bonnet over summer about sprint cars in particular, Chebecs, and wrote a bit about it on TRT and posted a bit about it online, and both through the efforts of friends of mine, of ours in the industry, like Hodgie and like Dean Neal, who we mentioned over in Perth, who are actively trying to raise the profile of one of the great secrets in Australian sport, in my opinion. And there was a night where I looked at some attendance, and I think it was the Mount Gambier night that Hodgie was referring to, and there were two A-League games and three NBL games, and the second most attended one of the lot was sprint cars. So it puts it into context into how powerful it could be. And last weekend they announced, I think it was 9,350 people at Quit Motorplex at Kwinana, the Motorplex in Perth for the Australian Championship. So 10,000 people at Speedway, which is an NBL crowd. It's bigger than most A-League crowds at the moment, which are terrible. And that's not just me. Before you get on your soccer hatred, that is fact. It's not opinion. And you know, it's bigger than some BBL crowds over the summer. So it's this sleeping giant with this massive potential audience, but because it's 57 different promoters and different series and different things going on, there's no unified approach. It needs a Tony Cochran to come in, grab it by the you know what's, and wrestle this sport into the future. And Hodgie's shown what having higher profile people involved can bring to it. And Dean over in Perth has shown what, as a presentation, as a product, it can be, because Channel 7 got behind it. And they played it live or as live on 7 Plus. And taking that from Plus into broadcast TV is easy, because it's exactly the same product. So there's so much potential there, and it drives me mad that it's not bigger than it is, because I think it deserves to be. It could be one of the big summer sports done right, packaged right, and whether that's a World Series sprint cars or a new series that comes along with a promoter that's willing to get out. But yeah, it's like supercars in 1996 before TC came along. We'd get great crowds. You get a great crowd at Winton and a great crowd at Malala and a great crowd at Sandown and a great crowd at Bathurst, but there were different TV deals and it wasn't unified, and there wasn't one solid promotion behind the whole lot of it. So, yeah, it's got so much promise, Speedway and sprint car racing in particular, because as you know, Mark, when you get there and you see it live, it blows your bloody doors off because it is spectacular.
I really swung into the whole Summer of Speedway thing. I went to a heap. Went out to Druin. In fact, I think I'm going to Druin again this weekend. Nyora, out to Rosedale. There's country tracks out my side of Melbourne. Druin and Nyora about half an hour away down the end of a lovely country drive. You get there, the food's cheap, the food's good, great spectating, good shows. You know, it might not necessarily be sprint cars, but whatever they serve up, like some of the best racing I saw all summer were the junior sedans, which were absolutely mint. It was like Formula V, except full contact. It was sensational. The most disappointing thing of the whole summer, unfortunately, was probably when I went to Avalon to watch the President's Cup. Like, the racing itself was awesome. The track was awesome. It was, the sprint car side of things was unreal, but the Avalon side of things, what an utter garbage dump. You know, from these country club tracks, you kind of expect, you're not expecting plushness, you know, you're just expecting to lob up there on your seat and, you know, you're out in the country and you're having a good time. But the whole Avalon thing, it really put a sour taste in my mouth about that. You know, Hodgie mentioned that the food sold out. There wasn't a lot of food to go around in the first place, and the choice was soggy chips and cold pies, and that was at 4:30 in the afternoon. You know, it never got any better than that.
The actual Avalon canteen is run by the local baseball club.
Yeah, well, that's not great for them.
Mm. They didn't hit a home run that night.
No, they didn't. They didn't, Richard.
But, like, the regulars there, they know to lob up at the gate with a pizza they brought from home. They know that they should bring a 20-meter roll of fly screen so they can tarp themselves off.
All that changes with more investment in the sport, doesn't it? So if you can raise the profile of the sport, you can go and get a sponsor for your venue to tip some cash into that, like these football stadiums have got. They're multi-million dollar deals to whack a brand like GMHBA Stadium down in Geelong or whatever it might be. So, but if you've got eyeballs on your sport, you can sell that stuff. But right now, you're selling to something that's anonymous aside from when 10,000 people rock up. And that also blows my mind. It's like you've got 10,000 people coming through your gate. How can you not be commercializing this properly? And I think part of the business model of Speedway is flawed in that it's all geared towards the back gate and it's geared towards prize money, and the tracks survive by selling attendance and they don't survive by marketing. It's about the punters that come through the gate week in, week out, that pay for everything to happen. So the model in itself is challenging in that respect. So if you can find some more revenue streams by a profile, by a broadcast, and it might take 5 years, but there are networks that pay an enormous amount of money for broadcast, live broadcast sport in this country that do not rate.
And what about summertime?
Well, that too. Absolutely. Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about. Content. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, an NBL game, and I like the NBL. I've been to 36ers games and they're great. And the NBL is doing a really good job at the moment building their profile, and their crowds are great. But they're lucky if they get 30,000 people watch a game on Fox or 10, or it's broadcast on 10, isn't it? Or 9. Anyway, that I don't know. That's part of the problem. if you couldn't get that many to watch a sprint car race, I'd be very, very surprised. And if there's 1,000 people every night willing to spend $35 on a pay-per-view, a free broadcast would be inordinately bigger than that. And if you go to 7 Plus when they do their as live show, so the day after, and you watch like the trending shows on the 7 Plus app, the Speedway is always there. So clearly people are watching it on 7 Plus. So there's so much potential there to build that. And that will have flow-on effects to the whole sport if it's done properly.
You know, the thing with Avalon that night, 10,000 punters there paying $35-40 a head to get into the joint. Someone's clearly pocketing some coin out of the whole situation. And you could see that there has been an effort to put in. What it was nice concrete ramps for the drivers to go up there, nice infield for the crews. It was whatever investment's been pumped in there in the last however many years, it's been angled at getting those competitors there. Who are the ones that are selling the tickets. It's not necessarily anything else. But there are good speedways around. You look at what Sydney's got out at Eastern Creek. You look at Perth. Perth's unbelievably good speedway.
Yeah.
You know, you hope like hell something happens in Brisbane, because, you know, Archerfield's just been sitting there to rot away for the past 20 years while they've been waiting to close it down. Finally, they've pulled a pin on it and they've got to find another solution for Queensland, because Toowoomba's a bit of a hard sell if you're trying to get people to go all the way up the range to watch sprint cars. So hopefully whatever happens in Southeast Queensland, they can get their act together and get it together pretty quick. And frankly, I hope Melbourne gets something a bit nicer too, because it'd be huge if they could put on a really nice facility down here. I'm sure that you wouldn't necessarily need sprint cars every weekend to pack it out.
And as much Shebex as we need these tracks to be successful, do you know Speedway, do you know what it should be aiming at? It should be aiming at a temporary track in Marvel Stadium in front of 30,000 people
for sure,
with the roof. But it's got that potential. It's seriously got that promise about it as a show to give 3 or 4 hours of entertainment on a Saturday night under lights, where you pay $30 to go in and then you pay $30 for food or whatever it might be. It's the only form of motorsport that can deliver that right now.
And the Supercross gets that, don't they? They get 25 to 30.
Exactly right. Look, they sell out the closed stadium. I don't recall what the current sponsor of it is. It used to be Vodafone Arena at Homebush there. They sell that out 2 nights in a row for their Supercross thing. And this is why the World Supercross stuff has got Tony Cochran behind it now, because he sees the potential in that. And sprint car racing in a car racing point of view is the only way you could possibly do that. So I hope it grows, Shebex, and it's going to take people like Hodgie, people like Dino over in the West, and others that are putting massive effort into Speedway in this country, to continue to beaver away and try and get a unified approach. Benny Bishop at Speedway Australia does great things and really tries hard to grow it. So full credit to those guys. Hopefully it builds and we can talk more about how good sprint cars are on this show.
And it might even increase the value of my unopened bottles of the methanol stuff.
What?
The Wayne Alginer.
Methanol moonshine.
Yes, yeah, methanol moonshine.
See, there's another one who bends over backwards to promote the sport of speedway and never seems to get the return he deserves out of it. The list goes on.
Exactly. Supercars, boys, it's been a very interesting week. We've seen some very exciting liveries pop out. We've seen probably a couple that maybe just didn't really take the brief of this is a whole new concept, Gen 3. So let's try and do something new.
Yes. What do you think of the cars, boys? What do you think of the looks of the cars? Because I think the Mustang's still got to grow on me, that new spec. I'm a Mustang lover, but I think I prefer the old shape over the new shape. It's still got to grow on me.
The funny thing for mine is that in its raw carbon form, I love the Camaro.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the Camaros so far have floated my boat, and I've leaned towards the Mustang from a purely aesthetic point of view so far. The WAU cars look horn. Like that's a really good job. I think these liveries, I think the brief for Gen 3 liveries is less is more.
Yep.
Mm.
And some teams did not get that brief.
Well, you look at Tom Randall's thing, I think that looks mint. Exact case of less is more, because they tried to throw the whole pizza box at it last year and it just sort of sprayed all over the joint. Pizza boxes, I don't mind Macca Jones Pizza Hut car. That's simplicity. It's just the branding on the side of it. I think that works well. I reckon Purdog's probably a little bit ahead of Chaz's. The light blue and the Optus sort of, there's not enough contrast there with the white in the background. You want sort of a big contrast between your colours if you're going light on dark or dark on light sort of thing. I don't know if that'll entirely work. Bryce Fullwood. They didn't read the power rankings last year, did they?
No, they were not treated favourably. And let's be honest, unlikely to be again. There's a lot going on there.
It's disappointing that Red Bull Ampol won't keep their testing scheme, isn't it?
That hits nicely, that livery. The MSR cars, the Camaros, I don't mind the Matt Stone cars, but their issue is that ironically they've got too many sponsors on the car, so they can't afford to go the DJR route of no, we're going to be a little bit picky about what logos we put and how big they are. But the orange and black base pops really well. Don't mind that. Pretty solid. Looking forward to seeing what Tickford do with their main cars. They rolled their car out for a shakedown in that black carbon. If they try and do anything more with Cam Waters' car than pure black carbon as it is right now, but whack some big green M's on it, it's wasted.
You can't do it, unfortunately, because you've got to have some sort of wrap there, because or else they just scuff up
matte clear wrap over the top of the carbon.
I don't know if that's a thing.
It is. 100% it's the thing. I'm going to run one of my cars up in my shed. You can absolutely do that. Leave Cam Waters' car. Whack some big green M's on it. Do not touch it. It is the meanest looking race car around.
Because that's what most of the panel beating is these days. They don't do anything. They don't replace the panels. They just whack another sticker over the top of it and deal with it on Monday.
Correct. Absolutely. Which is great. More to come. We don't know what Premiere are going to offer up from a livery point of view. And I bet you by the time this podcast goes live, they've just unveiled them. So looking forward to not seeing those. The Shell V-Power cars look great, I think.
It's the same.
That's the problem with it, is they look really nice, but it's been done now. I think we're all ready for a change.
Since our last podcast, the formats for all of Supercars 2023 races have been unveiled. Thoughts?
There's not a massive amount of revolution, is there?
No.
I'm happy that the qualifying races have gone for Sandown. I'm pleased that's gone back to a little bit more of a traditional sort of shootout into race format for the 500 coming back, which is good. And those qualifying races, as we saw with 12-hour qualifying, every time you have to aggregate something to generate a grid is hard work. So I don't mind that. Extra track time is probably a good thing at this current juncture of the sport's history, isn't it, I think?
Yeah, shootout coming back for Sandown, I think that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I kind of like the old co-driver race.
Yeah.
Because it'd be reasonably sedate, and then the main drivers would go out there and bin it.
It felt like needless peril.
But it's just something on the Saturday. Like a shootout around Sandown. I'm going to the pub. And there's shootouts are good at places where there's consequences. Shootouts don't work at a wide open place like Sandown.
Hang on.
Yeah, but
Sandown.
No, but the consequences. The consequences at Sandown when someone puts you in the fence.
Someone's going to bury it on a shootout lap at turn eight. No, I don't mind it. And look, it's part of the 500 tradition. It was back in the day anyway. But yeah, look, I don't mind that. I think those endurance weekends should build until you get to that big 500K race should be the start that everyone looks forward to.
There's a lot of 100K races.
Yeah. The sprint format, and until we know, I don't mind them not throwing the book at the format thing yet until we know how these cars race and what they like. So let's run them with what we know from a format point of view, understand how the cars are going to behave, understand tyre wear, things like that, and then start tweaking race formats down the road. But I think we know what we've got now, don't we? Like we go to Townsville, we know we get two 250K races, Adelaide, Newcastle, those, Gold Coast, Bathurst is 1,000, obviously, Sandown's 500, and the rest are sprint races. I think it's fairly sensible.
Bathurst over 1,000 Ks, what were they thinking?
Who would have thought?
Isn't Bathurst over 12 hours?
Over 2,000 Ks, Shebex now. 2,000 Ks, Shebex, and correct. Six.
How would you be writing an article about the fact that you're going to have a 2,000 K race at Bathurst and then you actually get one?
I know, right?
How do you feel about that, Richard?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Can we take anything from what we've seen of these shakedowns and single tests that these cars are done, or are we going to learn a lot more once we see them all get together at Eastern Creek?
No, the Sydney test is when we're going to know.
But you don't. Everyone goes in with their own program. Correct. And what they're doing. You know, Red Bull probably be last at Sydney, but they'll be running race stints all day long and it won't be reflective on the timesheets. Yeah.
Having said that, I think they'll need to get some representative lap time out of that just because their running's been so limited and will continue to be. I think this Sydney test will be more meaningful than previous Sydney tests in terms of a form guide.
But, you know, so much of it too is going to be just finding out what doesn't work on the cars. You know, you go in there with a big shopping list of things to check off during the days. It was actually notable there with that shakedown test that the Red Bull Ampol guys had, that they were doing things like pit stops and running close together and doing all these things that doesn't seem anybody else has really clued onto yet, which is probably reasonably clever because there's a lot of things changed. You know, you look at the pit stops, the wheel nuts are all different. Like it's a completely different wheel and wheel nut thing. So that's going to be different for those guys in the pit stops. Where the fuel filler is different compared to the old cars. So there's going to be a lot of little functionality things that they've got to just work through in these test days so that they're ready to roll. You know, you always used to see it on the pre-Bathurst test day that they'd always spend the afternoon just doing brake pad changes and getting those systems and all the checks in place. So, you know, the good teams won't be just pounding around laps. They'll be getting all the little like ancillary things like just turning a car around between sessions, you know, like the things that need to be done. It's no point lobbing up to Newcastle and, you know, you've got X number of minutes between practice and qualifying. You got to know that you can get all your little checklists done before you try and do that on a race weekend.
Yeah, you certainly do. Before we get a bit of a preview of the Daytona 500 from you, Mark, Daniel Ricciardo looks like he's living his best life at the moment, isn't he, without driving?
When's he not?
Nick, I feel like he's been living his best life for most of the last decade.
He probably has.
No, it's good.
Yeah, gets around to the States and drives a supercar over there. Scotty.
I struggle with... Yeah, that was nice. I struggle with the Aussie media... So now Red Bull's a Ford-powered Formula One team that just brings Dan closer to supercars. It's like, doesn't change anything. But anyway, good clicks.
Does that mean we're getting a V8 back into Formula One?
No, but Ford are.
But I mean, Dan's just going to line up in that Red Bull Ford, isn't he? I mean, that's just the sensible thing that's going to happen at Bathurst.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Nice.
Very nice. Big weekend to kick off the NASCAR season.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
does it kick off the NASCAR season, or is that already kicked off?
Well, it's already kicked off, but now they kind of get serious with a race that absolutely anybody can win. It's probably more interest in the preliminaries this year because there's a fair few go or go homers lining up in the 125K races. You know, you look at Jimmy Johnson, he's not locked in the number 84. He's now co-owner in the team that was Richard Petty Motorsport. So he's got to have a good lead up. Travis Pastrana's in that mix, and there's a fair few other young guns that are in that basket that aren't necessarily locked into the race. So nothing's a given there. So we might see old seven time in the first outing for the Legacy Motor Club not quite make the race. But what happens on race weekend? Who knows? It's a great weekend. Richard, we were there in 2018.
It's 5 years ago now.
Is it?
How
seems
old
like
do you feel?
Seems like 15.
5 years. It's ridiculous.
But yeah, what an event. Such a good thing.
Yeah, would go again. Highly recommended. 10 stars.
Recommend the beer.
Yeah. Yes. TGI Fridays in Orlando goes all right as well.
Right.
Any IndyCar news coming out? They've started testing there.
No, they're spring training in Florida. In California, actually. And our boys were pretty quick. Scotty was in the mix, so too Will Power. So very little to report there. They don't start for, they're 4 weeks away, I think, from St. Pete, the opening round of the championship, which is going to be good. Also worth noting, our mates at McIlroy Racing have started testing over there in Carrera Cup America. Good. So young Tommy Sargent will be flying the flag, and cool to see an Aussie team doing things in one mate Porsche Racing here. And yeah, as we count down to next week, Race Tasmania, the start of the Speed Series calendar this year, which will be good. There's some good driver announcements coming out for all categories. In fact, Trans Am will dive into next week because that's looking proper spice. Which is going to be kind of cool. So, and some good names coming to S5000 as well.
Good.
Fantastic.
Big weekend Sandown this weekend. The Vic State kicks off. That's always huge. And that's free and live through Blendline. But I saw Thomas Randall on the entry list there in the Family Saab Sports Stand. That's a good little get. Going the route of extra race miles, which is nice. I think there's about 25 Formula Fords, really good fields, 54 Hyundai XLs. So even if you just tune in for that, that's worth the price of admission alone.
54 Hyundai XLs, that's a small field, isn't it?
Wow.
That's a lot of sand down. That's a fair few.
The grid will be back to the bridge.
That's scary. Oh, no, thank you.
That's opt out. Hots and knots, my hot to kick it off. Due is the Williams livery in Formula One. Absolutely looks beautiful. So far, from what I've seen of F1 liveries, that's the one that's grabbed me.
Okay. Is the car going to go any good?
Probably not, no. But the livery looks bloody gross.
Oh, well, you'll be able to see it. It'll be moving slowly, so that's nice.
No TV time, mate.
My hot is, my boy Alex Albon, he will just roll another zero-stop strategy like he did at Albert Park last year, and away he goes. My hot is the post-event content that is being continually pumped out from Bathurst 12-hour. No, I haven't moved on yet. The Intercontinental GT Challenge video was amazing. There's a Mercedes video that's going to drop soon that is epic. And there's more to come. So I love that
Mercedes didn't really have much of a story to tell.
No, weekend, no, not at all. No, very, very quiet weekend for the three-pointed star. So no, it was great. It was there's really good content still going out, and people are still talking about it, which makes me very happy.
Do we know who is driving the Red Bull up in the country town?
Richard knows, doesn't he? Look at him.
I've signed paperwork. There's NDAs around that.
Damn.
Yeah. Red Bull have got snipers everywhere.
That story checks out.
Knots?
I haven't had a hot yet.
Oh, sorry.
That's
the knot. Jumping the gun.
Thank you. I'm just going to lock in my weekend. I spent Friday banging up Mount Buller and Tiaga High Country with
Glen Ridge.
Good.
With Glen Ridge. There's a story to come from that. Cool. Good grief. That was the best ride in a motorsport car I've ever had. That was absolutely insane. I got home, my next door neighbor's a bit of a road ahead, and I said, oh, you won't believe what I did. I, nah, it's fine. I'm on board. you won't believe what I did Friday. I spent the day banging around an RX-7 SP. He's gone, oh, you know Glenn Ridge owns one of them? As well, as a matter of fact,
you name dropper.
But then this is how badly organized my life is. I spent Sunday in a co-driver, rally co-driver school. So, I mean, probably would have been handy.
Bass backwards there, yeah.
Probably would have been, yeah, useful to have that before we did the whole Targa thing. But interesting little world there at the moment. If you like motorsport politics, go and check that out because Targa has a fair bit going on.
Pass.
Can imagine. Not for me is, I think I said it before, just that some of the supercar teams just haven't taken the initiative to read the brief of what Gen 3 is all about. New cars, new look, new everything. And they just haven't taken it to that nth degree. Unless we're going to see new liveries come out before Newcastle, and these are just like, this is what they just had wraps in the bottom cupboard or something. I don't know.
Interesting.
I don't really have a knot. My knot is that it's not the Bathurst 12 hour again.
Oh, here we go.
I haven't moved on. Seriously, no. And
you can only stay with it until the next thing, and the next thing's next weekend. So yeah. I expect by next weekend, you've moved on.
But if my knot is that the Australian Sprint Car Championship didn't get much PR outside of where it was run, so you know that seems like a fairly major title, but very little love given elsewhere. I did note Crush gave it some love on Speed Cafe, which is great. So well done, Brett. But it should be bigger than that. So if I had to pick it one, it's that. But really, I haven't moved on from Bathurst yet.
Not in its own right. My knot for the week is all the wasted sooking about Gen 3 over the last few years. Oh, it won't be ready. Oh, this. Oh, that. Oh, the amount of sooking there has been over the years. You know what? It's actually pretty awesome. Who gives a stuff? Get over it, lads. Let's go racing.
Yeah.
We will be in a couple of weeks' time. There's no doubt about it. I think we're only, 3 weeks away now, aren't we?
Newcastle. Yes, it's going to be large.
Bring it on. Boys, always great to catch up. We'll do it again next week. And I'll tell you what, folks, tune in next week because for people that are living in Melbourne, we'll hopefully be announcing a live on the grid podcast broadcast recording of a live show in 2 weeks' time. We're not sure where it's happening yet. We're working on a few things. Can't disclose anything yet. We might all be backed up in Mark Walker's backyard, but that would be okay as well.
Fine. That's convenient for me. I'm on board, actually. Let's lock that in now.
If you're still listening 60 minutes into the show, this is beers on TRT coming back is what we're saying right here. So watch this space.
Yeah, we
can't promise anything.
We cured COVID. COVID solved. We can do beers now.
Yeah,
surely we can get our good friends at Reckless Brewing to send us down a couple of slabs for the
food. I've got a slab incoming this week.
Beautiful. Catch you next week.
Bye bye.
Enjoy it, boys, and enjoy your week too. Thanks for joining us right here on the grid.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production.
Tell your friends there's more at RadioLeMans.com.